All right, guys, so we're going to look at the resurrection again this week. Last week, we talked about why it is so necessary for us to have the resurrection with regards to what we believe. In fact, Paul says, if there was no resurrection, we would be the most pitiful people in the world believing something that didn't happen. So what I'm going to talk about today is a couple of things. I'm going to talk about the credibility of the resurrection and the results of the resurrection, okay? So the credibility. Because, again, we're talking about an event that happened how long ago? 2,000 years ago, right? Okay? 2,000 years ago. So how can we know for sure that it really happened, okay? That's where the whole issue of credibility comes in. In fact, if we're going to talk about credibility, first of all, the resurrection of Christ was a miracle and requires the same evidence to prove any miracle. Because we all hear about miracles, right? We hear about you have to have evidence to prove that a miracle took place. And it's the same thing with the resurrection. With the resurrection, you have to have some evidence that it really took place. And we're going to look at a couple of them. First of all, we're going to look at personal testimonies. Personal testimonies. Now, what do we mean there? The apostles repeatedly refer to the fact that they were eyewitnesses to the resurrection. So the fact of the matter is that the apostles repeatedly made the point that they were eyewitnesses. So let's take a look. Luke chapter 24, verses 33 through 36. And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. And they said, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And as they were talking among these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." Peace to you. Now, that last phrase, "peace to you," that's obvious that he would have to say that. Wouldn't you get freaked out if all of a sudden somebody you saw die just showed up in the middle of the room and he's talking to you? It makes sense that he would say peace to you, right? So the reality is that the apostles repeatedly said he's alive. But the apostle Paul lists a number of witnesses to the resurrection, noting that some were still alive. So when Paul writes 1 Corinthians, which would be about 10 to 15 years after the death of Christ and his resurrection, he is telling the Corinthians a whole list of people and that some of them were still alive. Let's look at the passage, okay? 1 Corinthians 15, 4 through 9. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still asleep, though some have fallen asleep. He appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. All right, so how many people saw Jesus? Over 500, right? If you consider the apostles, and if you consider, I mean, and by the way, him showing up to Paul, would you say that's pretty significant? What makes that significant? Not just that he's the author of most of our New Testament. What makes that significant? Because he appeared to Paul at a crucial point in Paul's life. Anybody know what was going on in Paul's life? He was persecuting Christians, so therefore he wasn't a what? He wasn't a believer. Now, that would be credible, right? I mean, it's one thing for 500 people. Like, I believe, I've always believed in Jesus. And then, but now you have one guy who says, I was the persecutor of the church, and he appeared to me. Okay, so the reality is that Jesus appeared to a lot of people, and he makes the point to the Corinthians, and some of them are still alive. So this isn't just some fairy tale story that we've passed on. This is the reality. These people saw him, and they're still alive. Okay, saw him, and they're still alive. So it's from the personal testimonies. Now, here's the other one I need you to recognize. It isn't just that he was still alive and that they saw him. His enemies acknowledged, not necessarily that he was alive, but they acknowledged what? That what was missing? His body was missing. Okay? His enemies acknowledged that his body was missing. And so they even paid off, we'll talk about this here in a moment, they paid off the Roman guard to communicate that the disciples had come and taken his body, okay? So the reality is it's the personal testimonies. But there's also the impact of the resurrection tells us that something happened. What do you mean? It must be recognized that every effect has a cause. Do you realize that? Every effect has a cause. Stuff just doesn't happen out of nowhere. There's usually something that causes it, okay? So the resurrection of Jesus Christ resulted in numerous effects on human history. All right, so let's stop for a moment. How many people do you think have been crucified in human history? Bruce says a lot. Anybody want to put a number figure on it? Millions, maybe. Yeah, throughout history. Okay. Do we hear? I mean, they still occur today. I don't know if you know that. There are crucifixions that still occur today in like southern Asia into the Middle East and so forth. There are crucifixions that still take place, even into Africa. Now, my question to you is, how many times do you hear about those? No. I mean, even when you look at the writers of the time of Jesus, they don't talk about crucifixions. It's just assumed. It's an instrument of execution. So, like, for instance, I come from this, I grew up most of my life in the state of South Carolina. At that time, before I left, the primary means of execution in South Carolina was the electric chair. They still have it, and they still use it, okay? That's one of the methods you could choose is to die by the electric chair. Now, you hear that somebody got executed, but then you don't hear people talking about it all the time. It's just the common thing to happen. Here we have the resurrection of Jesus Christ that occurred after he was what? Crucified. And this one crucifixion and what happened afterwards had an impact on human history. An impact on human history. What do we mean? Well, first, there was an empty tomb which was recognized by his disciples and his enemies. First thing, an empty tomb. In fact, I want you to notice Matthew 28, 11 through 15. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and took counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell the people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. And it is. It continues to be one of the reasons, explanations against the resurrection is what? That they came and took his body. Okay? So why? Because nobody can deny that there was an empty tomb. Okay? Nobody can deny that. The reality was is there was an empty tomb. Even his enemies acknowledged there was an empty tomb. Okay? All right, here's another one. Second, the Lord's Day, Sunday, became the focus of believers over the Sabbath. Now, before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, Jews celebrated which high holy day every week? The Sabbath, right? Okay. Anybody know when the Sabbath begins? Friday evening until when? Saturday evening. So the Sabbath is the Saturday, okay? The Sabbath is the Saturday, which, by the way, can I stop for a moment? I hear Christians, some Christian denominations talking about the Sabbath. I remember growing up with Baptists down south where they always referred to Sunday as the Sabbath. The Sunday isn't the Sabbath, okay? The Sabbath is what day? Friday evening till Saturday evening. It's primarily Saturday, okay? Now, the reality is, with Christians, which day do we celebrate on? Sunday. Why do we choose Sunday? Yeah, that's when Jesus arose. Now, also notice something, just for you to be aware, which of the Ten Commandments are not emphasized in the New Testament? Keeping the Sabbath, that's right. All the others are still, right? But not keeping the Sabbath. Why? Because our focus isn't on the Saturday, it's on what? On Sunday, okay? Now, this is one of the things that distinguishes us from Seventh-day Adventists. Seventh-day Adventists are, some people don't think so, but they are a cult because they are into law-keeping and keeping the Sabbath, and they worship on what day? Saturday. Seventh-day Adventists worship on the Saturday, okay? So the Lord's Day became the focus of believers over what? The Sabbath, and that's especially true when the church becomes primarily what? Gentile, okay? Because some of the Jews would continue to acknowledge the Sabbath, and that's fine, but for Gentiles, we don't need to, right? Okay? That is a major change. Okay? Why did that happen? The resurrection. Okay? Here's the next one. Third, the rise of the Christian church is traced to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The rise of the Christian church is traced to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, some would say, and this was what was said in the beginning when you read the book of Acts, that the followers of Jesus were just a sect of Judaism, because they basically were Jews. It was just a group of Jews who believed something certain compared to the rest of the Jews. But the fact is, it didn't end there, did it? Did Christianity just stay in Israel at the time? Or among the Jewish people throughout the empire? No. It spread out where? Yeah, throughout the world. See, that's what the book of Acts is communicating to us, the spread of Christianity from Jerusalem to where? All the way to Rome, through the empire, okay? And it continues the spread, okay? Why is that happening? One thing, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, okay? So it's obvious that this is a major event, is having such an impact, okay? Fourth, the New Testament is an effect of the resurrection. Without the resurrection, would we have a New Testament? No. Yeah, think about it. What's the purpose of the Gospels then if there's no resurrection? There is no purpose. You know what I'm saying? Because gospel means good news, the good news of Jesus Christ. What good news is it to simply say he died on the cross? know what I'm saying? Then you get to the book of Acts. It talks about the spread of Christianity because of what? The resurrection. Then you see all of the letters talk about what? The resurrection. And then the reality is the final book, which is what? The book of Revelation talks about the one who is risen is coming back, right? You know what I'm saying? And it talks about the emphasis that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And it's because of his victory on the what? The cross and the grave through the resurrection. So there wouldn't be no basis for the New Testament then, right? The resurrection basically has changed the world, right? It's changed the world. So it had to be something. And it's more than just some guy dying on a cross. Because there are lots of people who die on crosses, right? There had to be something else, and it's the resurrection. The resurrection. Now, let's talk about the results, okay? So let's see what the results are, the impact of the results. I've got three that I want to focus on. First of all, the resurrection attests to the reality that Jesus Christ is God. Here's what Romans 1:4 says. And was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord. Now what declares him to be the Son of God here? Look at that verse. What event declares him to be the Son of God? The resurrection, okay? The resurrection. Because here's the thing, folks. I think everybody understands. When we talk about somebody being raised from the dead and changing into a resurrected body, there's got to be something special about him, right? Did you understand what I'm saying? Because when we look at other resurrections in the scripture, nobody's getting a new body like that, right? They have a body that they had, and it's brought back to life, but again, they're going to die again later, and they did. But the reality is what we see here is a resurrection with a resurrected body that points to the fact that he is the Son of God, that he is deity. Okay? This is a result of the resurrection. Okay? This is the result of the resurrection. He is the Son of God. And that means something to us, okay? And it's all because of the resurrection, okay? Anybody got a comment or a thought? Here's the other one. This is significant, has an impact for you and I. His work was accepted. Now, do you guys remember what I mentioned was his work? What was his work? Carpentry? What was his work? Yes, for our, you said it, Bruce, our sins. That's his work, to accomplish our redemption. Okay, that's what he came for. That's his work. So here's what I want you to see. We can have confidence that Christ's work was accepted because he was resurrected. All right, so let me ask you a question. How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're forgiven? Yeah, Christ rose from the dead. That's the answer. It's not, well, you know, I remember when I was by my grandmama when I was 5 years old and she told me about Jesus and I needed Jesus. And so, no, that's not the answer. You know you're saved because he rose again. Do you understand? And everything he said was therefore validated. Do you realize that? Everything Jesus says that is recorded for us is valid, not because just he said it, it's because he rose from the dead. And so therefore, everything he says is valid. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because he proved himself, we already saw it, to be the Son of God, right? And we also know that he said that he was going to die that way, and on the third day he would what? Rise again. So the reality is everything else that he talked about is valid because of the resurrection. So you and I can know that we're saved and that we're forgiven because of what? Jesus rose from the dead. How do you know that you're accepted by God? This is a good question to ask. I'll tell you why I'm asking it. Because so many of us, we go to have days where we think we're not accepted by God because of something we did or said. Does that have anything to do with your acceptance with God? No. Your acceptance with God is because of what Jesus did. And how do we know that what Jesus did is valid? He rose from the dead. The resurrection. Do you understand? The resurrection. Does it have anything to do with you? No. No, we've got to grasp that. Now, that's the number one way that the enemy will attack you. He'll tempt you into sin, and then, of course, you give into sin, and then he comes in and accuses you, and then he lies to you. And what does he say? God doesn't look at you the same way anymore. God doesn't accept you. God, you're on the outs with God. You know what I'm saying? And that's wrong. That's a lie. Because the reality is you're accepted with God if you, by faith, are trusting in him. It's because of his resurrection. Do you understand? It's his resurrection. Because he rose from the dead. We can have confidence that his work was accepted by God. Now, that last part of that was accepted because he was resurrected. If God didn't accept what he did, do you think he would have been resurrected? No. The fact is God accepted him because he was being obedient to God the Father in doing this. Okay? In doing this. And so therefore he was exalted. Okay? Exalted. So here's the verse. Who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So he was delivered to the cross for your what? Sin. But for your acceptance, he was what? Raised up. Resurrected. Do you understand? That this is what is so important. Now the other thing, and we could talk about this for a little bit, is the resurrection provided additional blessings of repentance, forgiveness, regeneration, and the Holy Spirit. And that's just to name a few. The resurrection provided all of these for us. Okay? The blessings of repentance. Now, what do you mean? What do you think that means? We don't see repentance as a blessing, but it is. Okay, turning from your sin. Okay? All right, that's good, Gene. Now, is that an action on your part, or is it something else? Can't do it by yourself. Anybody else? Okay, let me help you. The scripture communicates that God grants us repentance. The opportunity to repent for your sin is because the Holy Spirit moves you to it. He's the one who gives us that grace to repent, okay? The reason why we have that grace to repent is because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Did you understand that? The opportunity to go to him and say, I'm sorry, that's because he gifted that to you. He's giving you that ability to do that. Because we meet a whole lot of people that aren't repentant, right? We have a whole world full of people who don't want to repent to God at all about anything. That's because no one's working in their heart, right? No one's granting them what? Repentance. The Spirit's not working there. Do you understand? So the first thing is what he grants to us is repentance. The other one is forgiveness. Do you understand that one? You have forgiveness because of who? Jesus, right? How do we know we have forgiveness? He rose from the dead. And that is a greater confidence than what? Than if, let's say, a human being does it. So, for instance, we've been joking this morning about me constantly being harped on about the coffee, okay? And I could sit there and say, well, you know, I forgive that individual, okay? All right, I can forgive that individual. But how do you know I forgive them? What's that? Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, but just go along with my example, Tim, okay? All right, so how do you know? Because I could say, I forgive you. But then what you notice is, when we're gathered on Sunday mornings, I never come over to this part of the room anymore. And when we're talking, and if he shows up, I kind of conveniently walk away. But I did tell him that I what? Forgave him, right? Now, for the individual who was talking about the coffee, what's he got to think? He's going to think what? He's going to think, I don't know that he forgives me anymore, right? Would that be a natural reaction? Yeah, either that. Yes, I better be quiet about the coffee, okay? Yeah, he needs to repent. God grant me that gift. Yeah. So the reality is, with human beings, we can say we forgive, but that's, we still are left feeling what? Uneasy, right? That's only natural for us to feel uneasy, wondering, does that individual really forgive me? Same thing with God. We go to him, we confess our sins. Some go to him continually and confess the same sins over and over again, right? I can remember years ago people coming to the altar almost every week confessing the same sins because they don't have a confidence that they have been what? Forgiven. What gives us the confidence that he has forgiven us? Yeah, his resurrection. Do you see what I'm saying? His resurrection. So it's the whole aspect that he gives us forgiveness, and it's a far beyond human forgiveness. Far beyond human forgiveness. Do you understand? Now, that doesn't mean we don't wrestle with, does he forgive us? Well, that's why you go to prayer and you talk to him about it, and you always end up with the reality of, if you allow the word of God to direct you, you always end up, yes, Lord, you do forgive me. I think it's just our humanness. It could be a lack of faith. But then again, I don't think that having weak faith is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just normal humanity. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like if you think about the dad, Jesus is delayed going to take care of a girl, and the dad is saying, help my unbelief. You know, I believe, but help my unbelief. And Jesus doesn't rebuke him. Did you understand? That's just where we're at naturally, okay? So forgiveness is something that he gives us. Regeneration. Now, would you understand what regeneration is? Anybody know what that is? Yeah, he's the one changing us. That is a gift from him. That is a benefit of what? The resurrection. That's what sanctification is. You are changing. I hope you realize that. You are changing. That is another benefit. And then finally, the Holy Spirit. What a great benefit, right? What a great benefit. Now, those are some I just listed, but there's others. How about the ability to go and pray with him? How about the realization that somebody's interceding for you right now on the right hand of the Father? That's because of the what? Resurrection, right? Because of the resurrection. And the fact that we gather as a church body and that we need each other. It's all part of the resurrection, right? All part of the resurrection. The resurrection is the key thing to our faith, all right? Key thing to our faith. Now, next week, we're going to continue looking at Jesus Christ, probably take a couple weeks here, and what we're going to look at is his coming, his second coming.